start with number 255 in our wonderful hymn books. As I mentioned this morning, how precious songs we have, the experience of great people who have found in Christ their life. Blessed assurance is the security of the believer. Every believer not only is saved, but God grants to you the security of your life, eternity. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. 255. Come to you, the source of truth and light and love. We come to you through Jesus, our high priest. And we are thankful that through an entire day, we have been worshiping you and preparing our hearts to know about you. And Father, we pray for your mercies, that whatever we learn will sink in our life, and that we may experience what we talked this morning, the joy of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, for those who are here. We pray blessings for those who finish the rehearsal and they are on the way home traveling. And Father, we are thankful that the Dulilos are well in there in Idaho. I just finished talking to Marilyn, and how joyful it is to know that they are in peace and they have a good place to be. We miss them, and we pray the best blessings upon their life. Lord, we pray that as we broadcast over the internet, those who are listening across the country and in other countries, that they too be blessed by the assurance and the certainty of the book of Revelation. There is nothing obscure about the book, and there is nothing unknown that God covers to our mind except those things that he wants us to know. We thank you, Lord, that God is God in the book of Revelation, and that he exercised his authority and his power in such a way that we, the people of God, get the benefit. We thank you, Lord, that we have at least this year in this country a day of Thanksgiving, legally, an official holiday. And Lord, as we talk in the morning, how blessed we are that we can focus on God and on Christ. And I pray that this Wednesday, when the church meets together for Thanksgiving, that again, the word of God will be a blessing to our heart, and the songs and the music, everything will be just in accordance to the glorious God that we have, a day in which we say, thank you, Father, for the uncountable and the blessing that we cannot number that we have received from you. Bless us now as we praise your name, and later on as we look on that glorious chapter 10 of the book of Revelation. In Jesus we pray and thank you. Amen. All right. We will allow you to tell us what number of the here will be your son. In the meantime, you've seen our brother Anthony Laurel will pass the outline for today. The outline for today is page 4, but if you miss page 3 or 2 or 1, they're all here and soon going to be in the and the computer. Also, I have another news for you. There will be different Sunday school lessons on Sunday, focused on doctrine. And the first doctrine is the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, the prophecy about Jesus, the humanity about Jesus, the divinity of Jesus. And the lesson is going to be on the web page. So if you're at home and you want to know what the teacher is going to teach, you just click Sunday school and the lessons will be filed by date. And in that way, our brother is going to, I pass the files to our brother and he's going to, our super engineer will put it there and so on. The other day, I don't know if they call you somebody, Greg, but it says, I'm a webmaster and I need you need help. I need help? So after the beginning, I don't know what webmaster means. I thought I need help for my marriage or something like that. And I said, what do you want to do? He said, well, I want to help you. He said, it's only $1,000 an hour. He said, well, what do I do wrong? You know, and the guy wanted to sell his service to our church. I said, I have a webmaster. Well, won't you write, did you receive a letter from, won't you write to our webmaster?
Okay.
Oh, I see. This is the first time in the phone. And they were very excited. He said, you know, you don't understand. He said, listen, I'm very busy. I'm the senior pastor. And hang up. And God bless you. And he called me again. He said, this is for your good. And I said, you know something? You're a good American salesman. You know, and I'm an Arab, so don't talk anymore. He hung up, all right. Don't worry, darling, it's okay. Okay. All right. Now, what's your beautiful? He's going to pass the pages to you. You did? Okay, good. Well, you're faster, see? All right. And then if you miss page 1, 2, 3, or 4, I have those copies. I have them in the computer. You let me know, and I give you a copy again. All right, so don't worry about it. Eventually, we will put it in the web page. All right, now, Brother Greg.
228.
And today, our second service was there on the Pacific Hill, and our Brother Lee preached. Anybody went? How the things went, Brother? Well, very good. 32 people. We're still making an impact in the community, the only church that serves and have a voice. But I don't know if the people are believers or unbelievers. I don't have to know. But one thing we know, each time we go over there, we share the word of God. And that's beautiful. And the people who are Jewish, the Ogners, the new Ogners, they really like us. Because once in a while, they call me here and say, well, somebody's dying. Will you come in, Pastor? And when they introduced me, they said, here's our pastor. Like the church belonged to them. That's good. I don't say a word because, you know, they can tell us don't come anymore. But it's just so beautiful. 228, you said. That right, brother? My faith have found not only a place, but a resting place. That we know through the scripture. Other song to praise the Lord, all right? Let me see. One song that you like it and you want to really praise God. What number will be? Brother Plika, 227. In the meantime, it's just across the page. I want to tell you the blessing that we have in the internet. When I was sick, I was able to listen. And what surprised me most is on the Wednesday night service, that when some Greg was asking for his son, okay, Brother Blicker, and Brother Blicker came better, the voice, than Greg on this microphone. You have to speak a little closer, Greg, so that we can listen better. Or give more juice in the back. Or like the son leader in the conference said, give me love, baby, give me love. That means give me power on the microphone. Oh, I was looking like that to the guy who he's singing to the, he said, give me love, give me love. And I look on it and he said, the pastor is only electricity. He said, they call it love. You never know. But it's good. I hear Brother Plika, I hear other people clearly as can be, and I can hear Greg's message in Psalm 57 in a wonderful way, and I thank God for that, you know? I thank God. Now I understand when people from Salinas and other places tell me, thank you, Pastor, for the sermons and so on. It's such a blessing that you can have your own church in there. All right, number 27, the cleansing way. Have another song that touches your heart and want to share with us. Well, I don't know if you say greetings to our brother Carlos. He's from Korea. He's just for one day with us. Goes to Gregory School, I guess, in Watsonville. Is that right? And Carlos speaks Spanish. He can say Carlos. All right. And he's from Korea. He speaks excellent English. And thank you for being here, Carlos. We love you, all right? We love you. Okay. All right. Now, Mary. 388. And before we sing 388, I want to tell you that I'm looking forward to see the offering to the missionary. Today is the closing day, and I'm looking forward to see how much the Lord has provided for them so that we can indeed enjoy another offering, whatever that limit is. I'm not looking for goals of numbers. Whatever that limit is God's money to the missionaries, and it's something that our church, powerful church, is doing for those who are in another fields doing their work. I tell you, I have a beautiful picture from Laguna Seca on the Mazda Monza race, and then the Corvettes and so on, but I cannot do the work that Danny does with those people, you know. And I was just around taking pictures and see how he talks to them and how the people came to us. And when we identify where Miriam's parents and so on, they are grateful. They're grateful. And sometimes more than preaching what you do. Many of the racers, I saw racers step out of the, when they saw Miriam step out of their Corvettes and so on, and stop it. Say, Miriam, where you been? Look, we eat this little sandwich. We need your food, because Miriam, when they race in Portland, invites all the racers to her house, and she cooks like mama, big empanadas and these and the others, and they enjoy it, and they never forgot that. So Miriam, because most of them, remember, had a lavish life, women's here and women's over there, and they see Daniel with with his wife, involved in a ministry, not of preaching, but caring. That's what a woman is. A woman is not about to preach, but a woman is to care. And they see the house all nice, and they say, how in the world you get a wife like that? Well, when you're a Christian, that's the way you get a wife, all right? And many of them asking them to marry. Twice our church authorized Daniel to marry. Twice those people were living together, they get married because of the testimony of Danny. And I tell you, it's a tough work with those guys because they got money, they got everything they need, but it's wonderful how they appreciate Daniel, and he does the ministry in a different, in a way that you and I cannot do it. Somebody told me, I complained that I cannot read the black notes and things. Somebody said, well, to his own each gift, and that's true. Everybody has their own gift, and that's true. Now, the number was 388? All right. My good Andrew in the back. I want to tell you, it's so good to feel good. I'm not out of the wood yet, but at least I wonder if tomorrow I can go and run because I need to exercise a lot. All right. Okay, tell me.
Uh, 176
in perfect English. Now I'll teach you Spanish, Andrew, so that you can say 176. All right. 176. If you do not have an outline, we've supplied you an outline of tonight's sermon. Outlines of the entire book are available to you. Just let me know, and I email it or give a copy to you. Number 318.
Every hour. That's true.
I need every hour, oh, sure.
the living word. All right? What if we go to that bread of life? What was that number, the Andrew 1 something was? 176. Let's sing the last stanza. I like that. Break thou the bread of life. Terry 1-1? Okay, before this one, Terry. Terry Pereira? Okay, tell me, Terry Pereira. 393. All right. We don't want her to go upset home and all this. And poor husband suffer after this. All right. 393. All right. Take my life and let it be. Come on, bring us up. 393. Let me go. Stanza of 176 before we break the word of God, the life, the real bread of life, as the song really had. The last stanza on 176. By the way, in the internet, we hear the piano very well too, so everything is just wonderful. Let's have a word of prayer before we open the Bible in Revelation. God, our Father, without your word, we have nothing to say, and without your spirit, we are helpless. Therefore, give us your word tonight, and let the spirit show your way. In Jesus we pray, amen. It's a long time we have not talked about Revelation, and let's move to Revelation chapter 1, and I glance as fast as I can a little review on the book of Revelation before we end up on chapter 10 tonight. The key verse of the book of Revelation to me is 1:19. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 1, in verse 19, we read these words. Jesus is speaking to John, and he clearly said to him, "Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be thereafter, or will take place after these." So the verse is very clear. Divide the book in three parts. The things which you have seen, and that covers chapter 1. The entire chapter is the things that John has seen. The things which are is the church, chapter 2 and chapter 3. See, if you, like some view said, the church is gone and there is no longer church on this earth, and therefore we are living in a period, other period than the church. That will be absolutely chock the book of Revelation in part, because the Bible said, and the things which are. And it's very easy. After chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3 follow. And they are the church of the living God. The seven churches that, in my understanding, the seven churches are a picture of what the church really is. Each church expresses some characteristics of the churches. And then the book of Revelation said, not only the things which you have seen, the things that which are, and now that will take place. And that is an explanation from chapter 4 to chapter 22, the things that that are taking place into the area. All right, now we have advanced to the trumpets, and I want you to go to chapter 10 now, which is the study tonight. Remember, God gave us the things that take place after these, and how the first trumpet, second trumpet, and third trumpet, fourth trumpet, sixth trumpet, seventh trumpet, ninth trumpet, the sixth trumpet, and all of these has, they're only seven, so they cannot go more than the sixth. The sixth is the last one that we study. And in each trumpet, God is doing something. The first three is doing something with the earth. The other is doing something with mankind. Now, this is not talking about the Katrina moves of the wind and things like that that we can explain and analyze and knows how things are. This is nothing to do with that. This is supernatural events. And you know when God is moving because God is doing something supernatural, like transforming the water of the rivers in blood. Remember, he did it in Egypt. He's going to do it again. Like bringing fire out of the grass was green and wet. Something that you cannot explain. The media will try to explain it, but there is no explanation for that. So we know that whatever event happened now in history, so far I never saw any one of these events, so I know that the first trumpet has no sound yet. Now we come to chapter 10 on the last trumpet. I want you to know that this is the final trumpet. And many people look to this and say, oh, now we're going to know the date when the final trumpet sound, then we know when the Lord comes. You'll be surprised what God said here. You'll really be surprised. And you have the outline there in page 4. So just follow me on the Bible, and then in your home you can review in the outline. Now, there are three things that I want you to know on chapter 10. They are very clear to me as I read the chapter. Number one, the mighty messenger. The mighty messenger. We're going to see that. Then the declaration of the mighty messenger, what he has to say. And then the information that the mighty messenger will give us from verses 8 to 11. So let's look together into this wonderful piece of scripture. Now, the mighty messenger, number one, comes straight from the throne of God. Look at verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel. You know the word angel is the word in the original language. Is the word angelos, which also can mean messenger. So, and I saw another mighty messenger come down from heaven. So this is not an information you get from somebody else, secondhand information. The final trumpet is an information that comes strictly from God. Remember when the disciples in Acts chapter 1 want to know when the end is, Jesus said, this is nothing about you. Let me show it to you. This is really good. Go with me to Acts chapter 1, and you will see when the disciples were human beings like all of us, and they were, say at verse 6, they asked Jesus, Acts chapter 1, verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Now, are you going to put Israel together? And Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. And then he gave the assignment. You will receive the Holy Spirit, because they did not have it yet. You will receive the Holy Spirit in verse 8, and then you will be my witness. And that's what we are, the witness of God. So let's go back to Revelation 10, and we see that the mighty angel doesn't come from somebody searching the scripture, getting it smart and getting all kinds of informations and numbers together. It's an angel, it's a messenger that comes straight from the throne of God. All right? Now, number 2 comes straight from the majesty and glory of heaven. Look at that. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as the pillar of fire. Now, you find something similar in the book of Ezekiel. I don't know how many of you have read the book of Ezekiel, but it is amazing how many figures are in the book of Ezekiel. Let's go and look in Ezekiel, please. Ezekiel chapter 1 in the Old Testament. It's after Isaiah. Ezekiel chapter 1 in verse 28. Look at what the scripture said. As the appearance of the bowl that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness around about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. So the influence, I put that verse over there because I thought that I could make the statement on Revelation chapter 10, verse 1, that the messenger is nothing less than the Lord Jesus. Now, I cannot say the Bible says Jesus. So I want you to be aware. I always want to tell you when I come to a conclusion by the scripture and when the scripture openly say it. Now here it is. I'm going to read Revelation. I don't know why I'm getting short of breath. Revelation chapter 10 and verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel came down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as the pillar of fire. That's similar to Daniel chapter 2 also. It is a remarkable picture of the messenger. Now, come with a message of God's word. Not only we have the picture of majestic angels, until now the trumpets were sounded by three angels, two angels, one angel here and there, and they were not description of the characteristics of those angels. You know this in chapter 8, chapter 9. But now we have the characteristic and the description of this angel. And so I am going to assume that this angel is nothing less than the Lord Jesus. Now, he came with a message of God's word. And verse 2 said, and he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. So he is now in control of the entire world. And absolutely control of the entire world. And the only person that is in control of the entire world, so far as I know from the scripture, is God. All right? And is Jesus. And so he has a message of God's word for the world. Now, also, number 4, come with a message that involves the whole universe. If you look again, in verse 2 said, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth. Some describe this in Matthew 28:18. Jesus had this authority. Let's go over there, Matthew 28 in verse 18, a very famous verse whereby we are encouraged. Jesus says, and Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and he spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And so this verse 2 is an entire picture, a wonderful picture, that the messenger, characterized by the glory of God, now he comes with the authority over the sea and over the earth. Now, when God created the universe, he created the sea and the earth. All right, and God is in charge here to work and have a complete dominion over that. Then number 5, come with a message that is to be fulfilled of all things. So look at in verse 3 and in verse 4, and cry with a loud voice as when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, 7 thunders uttered their voices. And when the 7 thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the 7 thunders utter, and write them not. Wait a minute. I thought God's going to give us the date. When the angel of the Lord, I will say, was speaking, the verse 3 said that he cried with a loud voice, as a lion roareth, and when he cries, 7 thunders utter their voices. In other words, not just noise, voices. One thing is noise, like a trumpet. Another thing is a voice. It's a message. And now John, no stupid. Look at verse 4. And I was about to write. I imagine John said, boy, I got the latest news. All right? Now, this action happened already. Put your hand in Revelation. Let's go to me, to Daniel, please. In Daniel chapter 12, we have this in a mighty way. Daniel 12 in verse 7. I'm just looking into Daniel 6. I get there. 7. 12 in verse 7. Look at when Daniel was asking questions to God, he was getting near to know certain things. The Bible said in Daniel 12:7, and I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that live forever, and that issue shall be for a time and times and a half, and when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy place, all these things shall be finished. So he knew according to Revelation 10 verse 4, when these things happen, when the angel of the Lord have given the authority to declare the things that are going to take place, and the other angels utter voices, a message, He knew that this is the end, the finish time. But God said, stop it. Stop it. So a mighty messenger comes from heaven, the Lord himself. He takes the expression of his angels to speak, and now he's hold back to you. Not to him, to you and me. So when somebody speculates about this, it's pure speculation. Don't put your trust in speculations. I will tell you when I assume, because I am commanded by the scripture to teach the word. But there are things sometimes that are not so clear. So I will tell you, because I don't want you to trust an assumption. I want you to trust the word. Now, here is the beauty. The messenger, no doubt to me, is Jesus. The angels are there. They speak the voice. And John only knows now. John knows when the end will come in. And John said, oh, boy, let me get that computer. Let me get that laptop here and write it down. And God said, stop it. Now, the declaration of the messenger, verse 5 to 7. He made it official by sealing it with an oath. Look at verse 5 and verse 6. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that they are therein, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. All right? He made it official. Here it is. I seal this with an oath. In other words, this is no fooling around. Verse 5 said that he lifted up to heaven and swear, verse 6, by him that liveth forever and ever. So this is it. This is a seal. This is not an assumption. This is not a supposition. This is not, we're going to allegorize what happened. This is it. It's going to be an end. All right? Then he made the declaration. The climax of human history is at the hand of God. Look at the end of verse 7, the very end, that there should be time no longer. Now, if we read this to an unbeliever, doesn't make any sense. But for us, we go back to Genesis 1. You know what I found? That Genesis explained a lot of things of Revelation. We go to Genesis 1. And let me start reading from verse 14. Because when the Bible said time should be no longer, that means my little watch here, it will still work in. But time should be no longer. Who marks the time? Every Eastern person knows who marks the time. Look it. I'm going to read it for you. Genesis 1:14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmaments of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights. In other words, two compass to mark your time. The greater light to rule the day. We call that the sun. All right? The greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. We call that the moon. And I like it, the end of the verse. And by the way, we'll just throw the stars. He made some stars. Is not God fantastic? And the stars also. Like the stars are insignificant. You like to watch a star? I like to watch a star. Get my binoculars and watch the stars. They're always in the same position. You can do that in your home voice. You just put two sticks and get a shadow, and you will see that star at the same hour, at the same minute, at the same second, on the same place. And just put the stars. So when God go back to Revelation chapter 6, and he say time should be no longer, that means that human history is gone. If God takes the sun and takes the moon away, not only we don't have time, we don't have what? Life. You're a genius. We don't have life. Now in Revelation, then, the declaration of the messenger, he declared this is serious, it's an oath, he said time should be no more, and he made it clear the seventh trumpet is the last event in human history. All right? Let's look on it in verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophet. In other words, the mystery of God is going to be gone. There is no more history. There is no more. Everything, the mystery of God, remember Paul speak about, to me was revealed the mystery of God in Ephesians 4. The mystery of God is done. And verse 7 is clear. When shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he has declared. Where's the mystery? People knows that this earth can no longer go. Science said, well, the ocean is eating California. Other science is saying, well, we have a warm atmosphere, and that's where the weather changed. And science see, amazing enough, that this is coming to an end. But they had no clue. And so they want us not to have factories, and they want us not to have this and the other, so that we preserve the earth. That's Satan. He wants to preserve the earth, because Ephesians chapter 2 said that he's the prince of the earth, on the air, see, on the second atmosphere. He controls that. All right? Even the satellites are controlled by Satan himself. But man, God is in the third heaven, says 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27, on the third heaven. And how wonderful it is that the time should be no more. The earth, God said, okay, moon, come here. Okay, sun, come here. And the whole thing is gone. And it's finished. Now, the information of the messenger is in verse 8 to 11. Look at what he says first. Search the scripture, I call it. And the voice which I heard, verse 8, I'm reading Revelation 10, 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. The information is in the scripture. It's not in the news. It is not in the science paper. It is not in anything that you can ever think about it scientifically. The information about the end is in the book. And God is saying, there is an end, but he tells you no when. All right? In other words, God is saying, yes, there is an end. God is going to move the sun and move the moon, put them in the back, and gone. But he never tell you when. But the information is in the book. Now look at the impact of the scripture, verse 9 and verse 10. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I look, and I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. This is the impact of the scripture. Let me show you. Hebrews chapter 4. Look at the impact of the scripture. Sometimes we are concerned. I'm not concerned. But sometimes people are concerned why our church don't have 5,000 people. For this very reason, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. Look at what the scripture really says. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. So eat the book. Go home and eat the book. I tell you, as you read it, it's going to be sweet. But as you practice, sometimes it's going to be hard. You see that? Obeying God is not funny. You can read instructions, but to practice the instructions is the hard part. Children, when the Bible says, obey your parents, do you think the Bible said when they are right? You say, obey your daddy and mommy, even if they are wrong. But what if they are wrong? They got a problem with God, not with you. You got a problem if you disobey your parents. You got a problem not with them, but with God. But if your children obey your parents, then you wash your hand like Pilate and say, if they are wrong, they are wrong. But I do what my parents said. Now, that's eating the book. And sometimes I tell you, I said, Mama, I'm going to go to practice. I remember, I was 17, 15. I said, no practice. You have to wash the floor. We have brick floors. You have to wash it with water, put kerosene, and shine it. But, Mommy, look at that's it. And if I don't want it, it's swept in my head, and I had to do it anyway. So I said, I better do it. I was mad doing and washing and cleaning and putting it all together. Now, my wife rejoices because I wash the dishes in my home. I enjoy it. I learned it by the instruction of my mother. Strongly. And I tell you, young people, I don't like it at all. To do what Mama said is tough. But God honors that. Even though I did it against myself, I was training myself to do what God said. It's just so beautiful. It's so truthful, the scripture. You eat the book. Oh, yeah, you read it. Now try to practice. It's a little hard sometimes. The impact of the scripture. It's just unbelievable. Let me read you Isaiah chapter 30. Let's go to Isaiah in the Old Testament. See, I find it right here. Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah chapter 30. And I'm going to read here. Isaiah chapter 30, and I have verse 8. It said, now go write and eat before them in a table, and not eat in a book, that it may be for time to come forever and ever. That's the word of God. That is the word of God. It is important. It is written for us. Let's go to Proverbs. You're in Isaiah. Let's go to Proverbs. Go to the left to Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24 and verse 25. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Young people, if you want to disobey your parents, yes, I think you have the right to do what you want. But I tell you, that's not the way of God. You're going to lose time in your life. Don't lose time in your life. I tell people, say, what is the secret of life? Don't lose time in your life. Obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. You lose joy when you disobey the Lord. When you want to reason with God, that this is inhuman. No, there's no inhuman. God did it for your good. The impact of the scripture. He said, when I eat the words, oh, that was great. But boy, when I practice the word, that was tough. Now, the seriousness of the scripture preached to the end. Look at the last verse on chapter 10. You think that God will say, now the trumpet is going to sound on December 24, the year 2011. You think that God will do that. But look at verse 11 in Revelation 10. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and tongues and kings. Prophesy is the same as preaching. And I think this is a matching of Matthew 24 and verse 14. It's just clever to me. I can see it. Matthew 24, when God starts disclosing his coming. Matthew 24 and verse 14. That Jesus speaking, he says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. That was Revelation 10:11. See, there is no shortcut. Let's go back to the famous book of Ezekiel. One of those days I want to teach you Ezekiel. All right, Ezekiel in chapter 3. In verse 17, and show you what the scripture said. Why I do this? Ezekiel is here, chapter 3, in verse 17. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. My mother-in-law, remember your mother? Use this verse all her life to the young people in the church. She cooks good. So I don't know how she did it. A simple labor father. But 10, 12, 15 young people will come in. First, because there were girls in their home, and I like the girls. And then second, the mama will cook. We don't have, she doesn't have, did not have a big dining room, have a big patio. And we put a toldo. A toldo is a little cover on the top. It was 0 degree. And she will cook a soup, and she will come in. Sit down, young people, she said. And she read this verse. It's just amazing. Verse 17, son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the words of my mouth, and give them warning from me. So, young people, pass it on. Give your warning to others of God. Don't live a selfish life because you are young all for yourself. And we got a lecture, but she was so happy. And she was such a tender, very short, 4 feet, I think three. I mean, she was such a dynamite in telling us, young people, you are a watchman. Don't let anybody go into hell unless he knows or she knows about the Lord Jesus. By your life, by your walk of life, she said, and by what it is. You know, we don't have to lose the gospel because we're intellectually understanding the book of Revelation. Actually, the book of Revelation is forcing us to tell the people the gospel. Somebody told me this morning, if you keep preaching about Jesus, I'm going to end up believing. And I said, what do you think we're preaching? I said, in the day you believe, I walked 7 times around the building. You know how it is, our friend Camille. She said, you know, if you keep pushing Jesus, I'm going to end up believing. I said, I told you I don't want to push you, Jesus. I'm going to present you, Jesus. And as you say, Jesus is sweet, but when you eat Jesus, it's going to be hot. Because you have to say, I'm a sinner. I'm a Jew, I'm a Korean, I'm a Chinese, I'm a sinner. It doesn't matter who you are. You're a sinner. So the final trumpet, what do we learn? We learn one thing. There will be a day which is final. That day, God's going to say, sun, come here. Moon, come here. When? Do you saw it? What did God, the messenger, told John? Shut the book. Now, nevertheless, he said, eat my word. Eat my word. Take it in. And it's going to be sweet as you read it. And eloquent, like when I preach. It's going to be great. But when I practice, it's going to be tough. It's going to be, and I'm reminded of that. When I drive, I'm reminded of that. When I answer to my wife, if I don't do it in kindness and gentleness and with a spirit to help her, then I'm in trouble. And how many times I'm in trouble? I blame the bills I'm taking. Yeah. But it's you. Young people, when you're upset about your parents, do what they say, even if you're upset, because that's good for you. Then you're obeying your parents, and God is honored in a marvelous way. I never date Raquel alone to protect me and to protect her. I have been a Studebaker. Remember the Studebaker 51? Looks one side and looks the other the same. I never took Raquel in my car, because I don't want the neighbors to think we went someplace alone. They hurt me? No. Oh, when you're young, you think of many things, you know, but it doesn't hurt you. Doesn't hurt you. Rather, they bless me. And what the Bible measure is, give you a great message. I'm coming again. Don't worry about the date. It's in my hand. I give you certain signals, supernatural things. But at the end, you will see a hand taking the sun and say, okay, come with me. Take the moon and say, come with me. But meanwhile, what verse 11 said, let's go preaching the gospel. Church of God, let's keep on preaching the gospel as a body of Christ. And when you hurt because you obey the Bible, I understand you. So it should hurt. Should hurt. But I tell you, maybe hurt today, but no longer tomorrow. Because God's going to bless you. Bless you in a way you can't imagine as we obey God. Thank you, Father, for the goodness of your word. And thank you, Father, for the message. And thank you for the secrets of your word. We never will know when you are coming because you say so. Thank you, Lord. Now this week, many people in our church are traveling to different places, even myself. We pray for your covering grace and mercy. And for those who remain here, we pray for blessings upon their life and blessing upon Pastor Greg Tomlinson as he leads the church in a service of thanksgiving. In Jesus we pray and thank you. Amen. All right. God bless you. Oh.